know that you are at Shevis Oaks Baptist Church praising and worshiping God this morning. I pray that you have already felt the presence of the Holy Spirit this morning. The table's been set, and now it's time for us to sit down and dine. Amen? So turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 12. John, chapter 12. In our last study, as we continued on our series concerning the church, we saw how to reach those who don't want to be reached. And I hope that you saw last week, and you saw before I even preached the message, there's people in this world who do not want to be reached. They don't want to hear the gospel. They don't want to see the gospel. They don't want to hear anything about Jesus. They don't want to hear anything. They want to live their life without any interruption. But it's our job as Christians to preach the word, to spread the gospel. We learned that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 11, tells us how to reach this people group. That Scripture tells us that we are to plant seeds, and others will water the seed, but it's God's job to grow the seed into a plant. Church, God desires us to plant seeds of His gospel 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We learned that many times when we're planting seeds, it may not make sense to us what we're doing, but it makes perfect sense to God. Our ways are not His ways. I briefly spoke of being confident in serving the Lord when you're led by the Spirit, when you're being led by the Spirit of God, because He will lead us to do things at times that others don't agree with. Even those who feel they are the closest to the Lord may not agree, but as long as the Lord is leading, we are to follow. That's a good spot for an amen. Today, I want to visit an event where we see an outrageous act of faith, public ridicule, and then we're going to see the Lord's blessings. So turn with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Verse 1 says, 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, the one Jesus had raised from the dead, and He had just raised him from the dead. So they gave a dinner for Him there. Martha was serving them, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with Him. Then Mary took a pound of fragrant oil, pure and expensive nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped His feet with her hair. So the house was filled with fragrance of the oil. Then one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was about to betray Him, said, "Why wasn't this fragrant oil sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He didn't say this because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of the money bag and would steal part of what was in it. Jesus answered, "Leave her alone. She has kept it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you don't always have me." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you right now, asking you to forgive us of our sins. Lord, we just had an unbelievable time of worshiping you through song. God, we feel your presence, and we pray that your presence would stay and remain with us throughout the remainder of the service. God, I pray that you would speak to hearts, open eyes. Help us, God, not leave this sanctuary the way we normally do. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts, Lord, and pour your Spirit into us. Help us to know that we have met with you and you have met with us. God, that we'll be greater Christians when we walk through that door to serve you. Lord, we love you. Please let us experience you in fullness right now. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's children said, amen. As we look at the event that took place many, many years ago, there's a lot of things that I want you to see. But the first thing I want you to see is this. What is it that Mary did? Now, I've got to stop here. This was an outrageous act that she did. It was outlandish. It was unheard of. She should not have done it, some people have said. Well, Brother Kyle, I don't get it. I've read this story. I think it's a beautiful story. They've written songs about this story here. Yeah, I don't see what she did was outlandish, and I don't see that it was outrageous. Well, some of us do. Some of us don't. Listen, in every group that we live in, especially in the society that we live, hey, listen, somebody's going to be offended by this message because somebody is offended by everything. And listen to you, I'm offended that people are offended, and there's somebody else is offended. I've never in my life seen so many people that are offended by so much than the day we live in. It's unbelievable. So what is it? What is it that Mary did that was so outrageous, so ridiculously outrageous this morning? Well, first thing we see is this. Mary came into a room during a time when men were only the respected sex. She came into that room. Women were to serve men while they were lounging. We don't live in that day anymore. Brother Frank, we don't live in that day anymore, do we? Women served the men while the men were lounging. Only when serving and cleaning, we definitely don't live in this day. Only when serving and cleaning was done and through were the women allowed to enter the room. And even then, women were to sit quietly in a removed corner to listen. Be careful, Bob. They were to listen. Not Mary. Not Mary. Now listen, what she did, if she were to do it today, it would have been appropriate. It would have been fine, wouldn't it, Miss Desi? It would have been acceptable. Not the day that she was living in. It was not acceptable. Listen, not only that, she did something else. She sat down at the feet of the teacher, at a place that was fitting only for the teacher's top students. Mary walked past the stares, past the glances, maybe even past the dirty looks. You reckon she got any dirty looks? I think she did. She walked past where the other women may have been sitting, and she sat right at the master's feet. Listen to me, church. Her love for Jesus surpassed any potential personal scorn from others. Do you know what this means? She didn't care. Something had happened in her personal life that she didn't care anymore. She looked past the scorn, past the ridicule, past the dirty looks, past the remarks, past the nasty comments. And listen, she went and sat at the feet. This is outrageous that she would do something like this. But she did. What else is outrageous? Third thing she did was this. She anointed the feet, and Matthew and Luke say that she anointed his head and his feet, but she anointed Jesus' body with a pound of ointment. Scripture calls this spikenard. My version says nard. And what this means is it was the most pure. It was the absolute most pure, most fragrant. Church, this is outrageous. What was wrong with Mary? Why in the world would she do something like this? After all, there's some things that she had to know. She had to know some things from traditions of the Jews that she shouldn't have done this. Well, Brother Kyle, what is it that she should have known that she shouldn't have done this? Well, number one, in the Middle East, and I've talked about this several times in our Wednesday night class, in the Middle East, feet are considered the most vile part of the body. Jews did not touch others' feet. To just show someone in the Middle East today the bottom of your shoe is disgraceful. Just to show them the bottom of your shoe is disgraceful. You know, I've used this illustration before, but it's pertinent. I want to use it again today. Years ago in the Middle East, George Bush went over there and he was giving a speech, and somebody in the crowd took off their shoe and threw it at him. And we're just like, what's the big deal? It's not a big deal in America. But in the Middle East, for you to take off your shoe off the bottom of your foot, the most vile part of the body, and hurl it at anybody, especially a dignitary, that's the worst thing you could do. It's really probably saying more than shooting them with a bullet. You're showing vile and detest for this person. So we have to understand the position of what's taking place here. As you recall, a Jewish custom, when you have you invite people into your home, you don't give them a bath. But when they walk in the front door, you do something. They take off their sandals, and guess what you do? They wash their feet. Now, Amy and I were invited to a house this past Friday night, and nobody washed our feet. I'm just saying. Nor do I want anybody touching my nasty feet. But it was a custom of that day to wash the feet. Now, the second thing she did was this. She wiped his feet with her hair. That seems odd in itself. But I want you to understand the depths of the oddity this morning. Some of you ladies, Amy, get your pen ready. You ready? I'm going to teach you something. I want you to understand the depths of the oddity. A Jewish woman did not take her hair down in public. Did not. But Mary did. A Jewish woman did not take her hair down in public, but Mary did. Listen, she did take her hair down, and she used her hair to do what was considered, to wipe what is considered the most vilest part of the body. Listen, according to Scripture, do you know what women's adornment was? Their hair. What was the most holy part of the woman was used to wipe the nastiest part of any individual. Are y'all getting me? What was so outrageous about what she did? Well, this is outrageous. You don't do stuff like that. Mary didn't care. She had moved past anything that was holding her back. Well, what else did she do? She did not use this precious ointment on herself or any other family members. She used it on Jesus. Now, what's the big deal there? Well, you know, family is supposed to come when? First. Family's supposed to come first. Mr. White, I'll never forget when I was a child. I was probably 11, 12 years old, and this is not how it is in family units today. I've told y'all, I didn't even know a chicken had a piece of white meat on it until I was probably about 18 years old, because kids were the last in line. When we had family get-togethers, kids were the last in line. Now it's, I've got to get my baby something to eat. He'll starve to death. He'll be crying. Listen, didn't work that way at the Waddell house. I'll never forget, my dad had his college roommates come over, and we had a fish fry. And I'm the biggest contributor to the fish. Every day, I mean, I'd go out there and fish in the summertime, and there'd be a basket of fish, and we would clean the fish, and I would scale, and Dad would fillet, and we'd put those dudes in the freezer. We always had fish at the house. But these guys came over, and Dad, you know, he cooked all the fish, and he told us, he said, you know, y'all kids go in the den, watch TV, and after we eat, you can come in and eat. Well, I was used to that. But I was sitting there watching Scooby-Doo or whatever I was watching, and it was like, you know, they started eating at 6:30, and one of them, he was a fat dude, just big old dude. 6:30. 7 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock, and I'm like, okay, I'm respectful to my dad because I feared my dad the way we're supposed to fear God, and I waited till 8 o'clock, but I walked in, and I said, excuse me, I said, can we come get something to eat? He said, what do you mean? I said, we haven't eaten. You told us we couldn't eat until y'all got, can we come in and eat? It was gone. All of it. There wasn't even a fishbone left. I called my grandmother. I did. I said, "Mama, these people gone crazy. I'm starving to death. They didn't feed me." "Well, what are you talking about?" I said, "They didn't feed me." She got on the phone and she'd called my mother. Nana's fixed everything. And I had determined I was running away over this thing. This was crossing the line. Crossing the line. Listen, where are you going with this? Family is supposed to be first place, right? Did y'all read John chapter 11? I know y'all, this wasn't in your homework assignment. What happens in John chapter 11? In John chapter 11, the chapter right before this, somebody dies. Somebody is put in a tomb for 4 days. He is dead for 4 days before Jesus comes and raises him from the dead. Well, why did they wait 4 days? Because according to Jewish tradition, the spirit loomed over the body for 3 days. So Jesus waited an extra day to make sure that all these Jews knew that he was deader than dead. He was deader than a doornail dead. He wasn't coming back. Jesus said, "Watch this, boys." And he raised him from the dead, right? That's what happened in John chapter 11, right before we see this dinner taking place. Who was supposed to come first? Your family, right? Right? This strychnard that was being used, Mary didn't use it for her brother. She saved it for Jesus. Did y'all catch that? Family's supposed to come first. Not with Mary. Look at all this. I mean, this is outrageous what she's doing. We ought to stone her, shouldn't we? How dare her just stomp and trample all over these Jewish traditions like she's doing? But Mary did. Church, Mary did something else. Mary did not count the cost. Or did she most definitely count the cost? And still serve Jesus anyway. This spikenard is estimated to have cost a year's salary of the common man of that day. What was Mary thinking, giving probably all she had to Jesus? This is outrageous. What kind of job did she? Well, I'd like to have the kind of job Mary has. She can just waste all her money on Jesus. Wouldn't you? I just wish that you know, I could do something like. What's stopping you? What's stopping you? Outrageous. So we know what Mary did. Let's look at what Mary knew. Let's look at what Mary knew. And guys, listen to me. Men, get ready to step on your toes. Let's look at what Mary knew. Church, Mary was a smart, very smart woman. She, like most women in the church, are paying more attention to what's being said than the men do. Brother Kyle, hold on here. It's the truth. It really is. When I sit down in my study, and I've heard preachers, y'all, I've listened to big-time preachers, I've listened to big-shot preachers, and I've listened to no-shot preachers. Really, I've listened to self-proclaimed preachers, and I've listened to anointed preachers. I've heard a lot of preaching. I love to go sit and listen to preaching. I've heard preachers who preach way over your head, that try to preach over your head. I've listened to preachers who try to, you know, make everything sound like it makes sense. I've heard them all, and I've got to figure out where in the world I'm going with that one. I know what I'm saying now. Thank you. When I'm sitting in my study preparing, I'll try to say, okay, that's good enough on that point. I just need to stop. When there's more information I could add, I need to stop because I don't want to overwhelm. But you know, as I'm preparing, do you know what keeps me going to go deeper and deeper? You know what keeps me going? Can I tell you? Miss Desi. Teresa Crowell. Amy Waddell. Janelle Knopf. Why? What's the difference? Because they'll call me out. They have called me out. What do you mean? In a rebuke? No. Why didn't you talk about this? Why didn't you talk about that? Especially this one here. I mean, she's got a Bible now that's got a notebook attached to it. I'm in big trouble. What are you saying? Listen, the reason I go to depths that I do at times is because I know that I need to. There are people who are wanting more. And as I look at that list, there's only been one or two men in my lifetime. Mr. White, he's one of them too. Hey, listen, that will call you out or say, why didn't you do this? Why are they like that? Are they just being contentious? Well, maybe sometimes. But they want more. Women in the church, they want more. They want deeper. They want the knowledge where I don't see a lot of times that men do. Do you know that men sleep in church more often than women? Imagine that. They really do. Women got it going on. If it wasn't for the women, there wouldn't be churches today, a lot of them. Do you know women tithe more than men? We need to study that statistic one Sunday, don't we, Deborah? Mary had heard Jesus tell of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And listen, we've studied it on Wednesday night. It wasn't seeking into these knothead disciples of his inner circle. Mary got it. He'd been teaching about his death, burial, and his resurrection, and she knew his time was coming. John Phillips says this. He says, Mary had listened to the words of Jesus, and it burned in her mind of his pending death. Not knowing when he would give his life, she said to herself, I'll give this oil that I've been preparing to him the next time he's here. And that's what she did. That's what she did. Church, listen, what Mary knew is what we today need to know. It's going to get good now, y'all. Y'all ready? It's getting ready to get good now. Mary had listened to Jesus and knew that Jesus did not need this ointment for his burial because he was not going to stay in the grave long. She gave him this ointment to anoint him for what he was going to do. Not for being in the grave, because listen, Jews traditionally, they would rub your body in ointment all down, because you know, y'all remember when Lazarus was in the tomb for the fourth day, they said, you can't roll that thing back. Why? He stinketh. It wasn't stink, it was stinketh. That means you stink more. They put this ointment on him to cut down on the stink. Mary knew, Jesus didn't know. How did she know? How did she know? Because she listened. She listened to what Jesus had to say. Listen, I love this. This Mary, this same Mary, is not seen at the trials of Jesus, nor is she seen at the cross of Jesus, not even at the burial of Jesus. Listen, commentators say that Mary skipped the cross and was already on resurrection ground. She believed what Jesus said about his resurrection. She was already there. That's where we need to be. Church, that's where we need to be today. Now, we saw what Mary did, and we now know what Mary knew. What were some things that the disciples thought they knew? Because we all think we know something, right? If you could only reach my level of spiritual enlightenment and knowledge, Brother Kyle, you would think the way I think, and you would do the things that I do. You're just not as holy as I am. Really? These are the inner circle. They should have been holy, but they were missing something. Well, what is it they thought they knew? Number one, they thought they knew the whole situation, and they thought they knew what was right and what was wrong.
And in this case, in their minds, what Mary was doing was not right. It was wrong on so many levels in their eyes. Well, what makes the difference? We'll get to that here in a second. In their eyes, what she did was crazy, being she could have used that money for the poor. Now, I love the way John calls people out. Matthew and Mark talk about this same event, and they don't call names. John flat out tells us that it was Judas that was complaining the most about the cost, not because of the poor, but because he did not get his cut of what it cost. Scripture says that he was a thief. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Now, I haven't ever done this here. Probably won't. Probably. But I've found something very curious that happens. When something in the church comes up, and we had air conditioning units come up at my last church. They just went out in the middle of the summer in the sanctuary. All of them. And I'm like, okay, well, we don't need to have a meeting about this. We need to get them fixed. And we had, I mean, I thought, oh, golly, I thought I was going to have to, you know, bring a shotgun to church. That cost over $500, and you didn't bring it to the attention of the church. Okay, church, is there anybody? Let's just do a survey right now. If the air conditions go out today, do we need to have a committee meeting on whether we need to have the air conditions fixed? Just checking, Gary. I'm just checking. Just checking. This is what I found, church. This is what I found. Y'all ready? Those who complain about money the most give the least. Because when all that took place, I went to our financial treasurer. I said, listen to me, I don't do this much, but I just want to ask a question. Does so-and-so even tithe? And she said, they quit tithing about a year and a half ago. They don't tithe. If you don't tithe, you need to keep your mouth shut when it comes to business matters of the church. Be quiet. Why? Well, hold on a second. I'm a member here. Yeah, in name. In name. You're a consumer, not a giver. You suck off all the ministries of the church, but you don't support the ministries. Those who complain about money the most are usually the biggest thieves. Well, who's complaining about money today? The thief. The thief is complaining about money. He wasn't upset because the money didn't go to the poor. He was upset because, listen, he didn't get his cut. If it were, all that money was given to him, he would have lightened the load a little bit as he was going away. Well, Jesus sent me to buy 22 loaves of bread. Well, I got it on sale at the bread store, and I didn't have to pay the whole price. So, you know, I'll take the money that I didn't have to spend. I'll put it in my pocket. You think people would do that right there? It just happened a few minutes ago when the offering plates went by. Now we've seen what the disciples thought. What they thought they knew. Let's look at what Jesus knew. Church, it's getting ready to get good. Let's look at what Jesus knew. We saw what Mary did. We saw what Mary knew. We saw what the disciples thought they knew. Now let's look at what Jesus knew. Church, Jesus knew it all. Y'all know that, right? Is there anything that comes to Jesus' mind just offhand? Listen, before he was even invited to that meal, Bill, he knew what Mary was going to do. He knew. It's even greater than that. He knew the whole story. He knew the traditions. Hey, listen, Jesus is the one through the Holy Spirit of God that led Mary to do such an outrageous thing in the first place. Jesus knew. You just don't come up with something as outrageous as that on your own. You're led by the Holy Spirit of God to do something like that. Listen, Jesus, after this whole ordeal was over, he said this, leave her alone. Leave her alone. Why? Because she was right and they were wrong, and he's the one who led her to do what she was doing in the first place. Jesus then said, "She has kept this for the day of my burial." What Jesus is saying is that she had heard that he was going to die. When she realized this, she started saving what she could so that she could use this on the day that he did die. But the day she realized that what she had saved it all for was not going to be needed for what she had saved it for, so she used it to glorify who God is already. Not who he was going to be, but who he already is. And this is what we see Jesus trying to get through these thick-headed apostles all throughout the four Gospels, to accept him as their Messiah. She is proclaiming boldly, "There's no cost too great. I am going to glorify you today as the Messiah of all the world." Outrageous. Outrageous love. I told you that Matthew and Mark give this story as well. Now, they do something that John didn't do. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 13. There's one little piece that John missed out. Hold on, Pat, you got to hear this one little piece. Listen to what Matthew and Mark write. Matthew 26, 13. Jesus says this. He says, "I assure you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told in memory of her." She was rewarded for what she did for the Lord that day. Look, Kyle, what's the big deal? Church, when the Holy Spirit of God tells you to do something, you can almost bet that it's not going to make sense to others around you, and it might not make sense to you. You may very well face public ridicule from people who claim their closer walk with Jesus than you are. But if you're willing to do what the Holy Spirit of God tells you to do, Jesus will reward you. He will. Listen, do what the Holy Spirit of God tells you to do. Do it. Do it. Let me ask you this last question, and we're going to go to the invitation. Let me ask you this question. What stories will people tell of your faith when you're dead and gone? What stories of faith are people going to tell of you when you're dead and gone? Church, let the Spirit of God lead you to do even the craziest things in the eyes of others, and let God shut the mouths of your critics. Do what the Spirit of God tells you to do. Amen? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, we love you. And Lord, we felt your presence earlier this morning during the singing. Lord, we just thank you for it. God, I felt your presence during the time of preaching. Lord, I thank you for that. I couldn't have preached not a word without your Spirit. Now, God, this is your time. This is your invitation. These are your people. God, if we've ever lived in a day where we need to boldly follow the Spirit of God where it leads, it's today. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would move amongst this congregation. Enable us to be the people of God you created us to be. Help us to fall on our face before you and worship you during this time. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come? Altar's open.